Welcome. We trust you will be encouraged by this message from Mahesh Chavda by Chavda Ministries International. Real love, real people, real power.
You may be seated. Hallelujah. Greetings from Pastor Bonnie. She's doing addressing a big gathering of Christians. It's a giant reconciliation meeting for Protestants and Catholics on this, the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. I was invited there also to speak. I just said, I'm going to send the good-looking part of me. because we have a lot of other things that are on the agenda. We also, by the way, you may want to tell your friends, and I need to remember to tell them to all our people on Sunday, to make sure that they contact their neighbors. There's our elections coming up, local elections. And this church and minister are very much involved in helping in Charlotte, North Carolina, to really get, and then people in the Fort Mill, although whatever the elections are, that we want the Christians to influence, be the main influence. We've got such a high percent of the population is Christians, and yet we find that less than sometimes, 10-11% go out and vote, even less than that. And so the others, the humanists, the whatever influence that are really not Christian influenced, they are planning. They plan way ahead because they may be small number, but they are kind of really committed to bring some of their values that a lot of them are not godly values. And then they take over the value systems in our schools, in determining whether a man can go to a woman's bathroom. It's really weird, but when the Christians were absent, the others took over and then started doing some of the strangest things. So if you feel, ladies, wave your hand where you are, all right? If you aren't just as comfortable when you see a 7-foot-tall man use your bathroom and come on in while you're there, and you feel like you would appreciate a little privacy. Ladies, how many of you would appreciate some privacy in a public restroom? Yes. I have to be careful in this age of political correctness what to say. So I am just going to say that it is important, imperative, more and more, that we have our value systems be the determining fact. And we are the majority. It's just that most Christians need a big shofar blown over their heads to say, hey, wake up. And the culture is going to the dogs. If you're not careful and are not, the ungodly will determine the atmosphere around your children. We have to rise and be an influence, and that's important. So anyway, we need to make sure that, that's why, by the way, tonight, Heather and Cindy, we have sent them to another gathering in Charlotte, primarily an African-American, some churches that gathered there, but they asked us to help speak in that realm, and so it's important. We have been actively involved. Pastor Bonnie, Heather, Cindy Decker, and others are involved in helping in the elections in Charlotte so the Christians can have a major influence. Glory to God. Amen. I want you to excuse just a moment. You just kind of be observing just like you would, that you would have to pretend you are the Johnny Carson show or whatever. But I'm going to just make an announcement to all our friends in Europe. We want to let them know. So let me make a brief address to them, okay? And so the camera people know what I'm talking about, hopefully. I would like to take this moment to invite, in fact, we'll take a pause so that they have real integral. I'm supposed to. We used to make a lot of programs for television, so I need to remember my habits. I would invite all our friends in Europe to join us, and in the Middle East, Africa, come. There are many leaders coming, and we are excited that we are going to be in Belgium November 10th through 12th, and for the European Convention of the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship International in Blankenberge, Belgium. So please take note, November 10th through 12th, and we want to invite you, Bonnie Chopped and myself, we're going to be there and addressing that conference. The theme of the conference is Only Love Can Make a Miracle. And the hosts are Rick and Sabine Van Nesta. And remember this, that 2017 marks the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. And we believe this is a notable time and an important prophetic hour for Europe, for Belgium, for France, for Germany, for Great Britain, for Hungary, Italy, all the nations of Europe. And so it's important. We'll be in Belgium on November 10th through 12th at Only Love Can Make a Miracle Conference gathering. And we are going to, I believe, the presence of the Lord is going to be here, that the Lord wants to anoint and commission a whole fresh group of people to move in Reformation grace and the power of the Holy Spirit. And even here, we have been seeing awesome signs and wonders and miracles, stage 4 cancers being healed, people, autistic children speaking in a few moments. It's amazing the turnaround we're getting, and we're going to see some amazing things up ahead. I believe we are going to be together in November 10th through 12th by divine appointment. So we want to invite you. Bless you as you come. All righty. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Listen, number one, I want to thank you all for being at the Prophetic Fire Conference. It's amazing. We were large number this last Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and here we are a week later, and people are taking a little time off. And I said, gosh, people are getting wimpy. You had plenty of days to kind of take off a little bit. But Friday night is time to watch and pray and praise the Lord. So I'm proud of each of you who are here. You are hardy and you are warriors. And tell your neighbor, you are a warrior. And as watchmen on the walls, that this is the watch of the Lord. I welcome all the watchmen who are watching us also around the world. We bless you. There's always, when we started doing this consistently, we used to do, as when I was pastor, we would have all-night prayer once a month. But then the Lord in Jerusalem spoke to me, and when I would pray all night at the Feast of Tabernacles, go to the Western Wall and pray, the Lord, it was the angel came and said, watch with me. And I knew what it meant was to start doing this consistently. And so we have had an unbroken watch here, as you know, for nearly 25 years. And so it is a commission from the Lord. And as we do so, there is a blessing for every person who participates. There is a blessing for you, for your children, for your family. And the angel will bless. I believe there is a watch angel that comes and is watching over us. And the chief watchman is the Lord God himself. And I'll share a few more scriptures about just how he watches over us, watches with us, and how we join with him. But in that sense, I want to just kind of just say the one of the main themes tonight, we come with thanksgiving. Say thanksgiving. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, I'll tell you what specific things we are thanking. the Lord. I mean, we got plenty of things to thank the Lord for, and I'm thanking the Lord for each of you here. But I want to say tonight, one of the main themes is, let us pause and give thanks that the Lord is in the process of restoring our economy. So I don't know how many of you read that, but this week they were recognizing and they were taking note that this, we have reached a special time in a matter of 6 months since the inauguration. It's been almost 8 months, but since that, there has been a change and a new confidence has come back, and so the unemployment rate has gone down by, it's at a tremendous rate. It is the lowest unemployment in 17 years. So people, we have, in this watch, we have from time to time, all through these last few years, we've been praying, Lord, we are praying for jobs and better jobs, Lord. And as senior pastor, I've had to pray over these recent few years, so many wonderful adult men and women who are looking for jobs. And there were some who have gotten into a pretty intense personal place because they had bills piling up and they didn't have jobs. And, you know, your heart goes to people who really want to work hard. They are good people who are faithful and turn up and want to work hard, and yet when they cannot find jobs, it is a heartbreaking situation. And so when that it's been a turnaround, and now it's still improving, but already people are getting to be in a pretty good place where the unemployment rate has gone down, way down. So it is the lowest figures of unemployment since the last 17 years. In the 70s, the economy is better than it has been since the 1970s. So that's pretty good report. And then the oil, and the Lord is restoring fresh vigor to the energy branch, which is one of the heart of helping in some nations. The wealth comes quite a bit from selling oil and natural gas. And that's why you have heard over these last many, many decades that Saudi Arabia, for example, has been one of the wealthiest nations. And the reason is basically they've got one export, and that's oil. Well, America is getting almost neck and neck with Saudi Arabia. So the oil production has been let loose, and they are finding oil, in such vast amounts. I got my education, undergraduate and graduate degree in West Texas, where they have what they call the Permian Basin and other key places that look desert. And I remember, just a little side note, that the university I went to was an independent Baptist university. And it was, in a sense, kind of treated, because it was way out there in West Texas, they were treated like an orphan by the convention that they were under. And there were other universities that they would get a lot of fame and all of that. But the one that I attended was a humble Baptist university, kind of foreign moment. And then a very sweet couple who had no children left their vast farmland, ranch land that was thousands of acres to the universities, endowed it with them. Well, they found when the oil started being restored, they found some of the largest reserves of oil under that desert ranch land. And so now it's just a little example of the wealth that suddenly comes overnight. So that university is blessed. And anyway, but we are just the thing to thank the Lord, because as the wealth comes, you sell natural gas in vast amounts and oil as an export. it brings the economic restoration. And we are, for the first time, selling huge amounts of oil to India, which India bought its oil from Iran and some other places. Now, overnight, because of security reasons, they have had to go. They can't do it that way. So just think, India is almost $1.2 billion. And that kind of market opening where we are exporting oil to India, exporting oil to countries like even this week, Singapore got a $14 billion contract that our Boeing airline here got that kind of contract. Poland, Hungary, some of the major East European nations are now going to buy all their natural gas reserves from the United States. It really affects the boom. Say boom in a good way, boom. It's an economic boom. And so we want to set aside some time tonight to say, Lord, thank you that you are seeing that Americans who need jobs are going to have jobs, that we are able to, when we have an economic boom, we can show mercy and kindness to other nations, that we can feed thousands of people for free who need help overseas in the poorer nations, that we can help the widows and the orphans. And so the more powerful economically we get, the better it is. We are in a good place, and then we can give. That's the thing. That's why we pray, and our philosophy is that, you know, my God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. And part of it is abundance. Say abundance. And my God shall supply all your needs. And Jesus came to give you life, and that abundantly. Say abundantly. And we release abundantly. When I am, by the way, there is a method in our madness. Now, that isn't really madness. There is a method, anointed method, that when we declare some of these words, you are an anointed vessel of God. You have the breath of the Holy Spirit inside you. You are baptized with the Holy Spirit. When we speak, and especially when we speak together, power is released. You are injecting that atmosphere with the energy of the anointing for that word you are prophesying. So when we say abundance, that word takes wing and has got fire on it to change and shape things around you, to bless your children, to bless your bank deposits. I mean, there's a reason why we need to take our place. And part of the key place is being a watchman, which is beyond being an intercessor. So anyway, we are going to give thanks for the restoration. So we, the intercessors, you are part of the whole team here. And I am so, it's so important. This is like, you know, you can, let's say you guard, you have some bad guys around, and you sit there with your musket defending you. And then suddenly the commander in that area of the troops says, by the way, I'm sending you 100 of my soldiers to help you guard. Now, would you prefer to just sit there on your old musket, or would you have 100 uniformed soldiers helping you guard your property? I would rather have the 100. That's the difference, is that when we come together, it's the strength of all these people. You, each of you, bring your strength, and then together, it's powerful. So if I have a choice, I want to run to that place where a whole bunch of people are ready to roar in the name of the Lord, all right? So it's imperative we realize and have a vision of what we are doing in the realm of the Spirit. And then the victory manifests. Our people are often, they want to celebrate the victories, but are unable to see that we have to sow the seeds for the harvest to come. People enjoy the harvest, It's a sowing time. We have to sow in the Spirit. And so watching and praying is our time to sow in the Spirit as we worship. This is one of the key times of worship. I am passionate about watching and praying, that the presence of the Lord and His angel is with us. So we are thanking the Lord today for the economic restoration. At the same time, we want to, two days ago, but the president declared officially, which we have been mentioning also, but that the opioid, the addiction over this nation is now a plague. He called it a plague, that it is so destructive that multiple thousands of Americans die each year now with this addiction. Young people and young marriage, all that, there is something. Once the spirit of addiction takes over, it is impossible almost. You cannot logically talk with person, say, please don't take cocaine. Stop this addiction. Don't take. You can't argue with, because they are totally taken over. And that's why that example of Jesus traveling across the Lake Galilee, and then the man who has already totally been possessed by the demonic, he can't prevent himself from being a completely demonized person. Someone has to come and say, in the name of Jesus. Of course, Jesus was Jesus. So I guess he would say, in the name of me, come out. So, but the demon got let loose. But it has become an addiction. So they will do what we can. But we absolutely need the intercessors and the watchmen over this nation to be the main declarative prayer warriors that can say, we bind this demonic force in the name of Jesus and stand our ground and stake our place for that addiction over our nation. And that it is over many different nations, but this has become a major place. Just think, the president and all of the big dignitaries were together declaring, this is an official, they had to take an official step declaring and getting loose all the federal powers they can to so that they can, there are a lot of corrupt people involved in a lot of corrupt things in our nation. And we have to pull down the strongholds of corruption as much as the demonic spirit of addiction. Because there are a lot of strong powers that are slippery that want to either bring in a lot of illegal drugs across the borders, and then there are pharmaceutical agencies, pharmaceutical industry here in the United States, one that they just in Arizona, I believe, that was paying doctors across the United States millions, kind of like a bribe, so that they would medicate people when it was not necessary and tell them, give them this pain medication that is not fit for them, but they just wanted to sell that product. So they would, and when they say prescribe that, once the people unnecessarily are prescribed this, they become addicted to these pain medications, and they were really making money hand over fist. I mean, in the hundreds of millions of dollars. So we want to pray that the Lord will bring to the surface these corrupt vessels, and some of them have lodged in Washington, D.C. So as we pray, watch and pray, we bind and get these things out of the way and see that our population is set free. The scripture the Lord gave me for tonight, and then we're going to talk some more about what we want to do in the realm of the Spirit. But it's from Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14, says this, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's a promise of the Lord. For the earth will be filled, and you are part of the earth. Say, I will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. As surely as the waters cover the sea. So, welcome the glory. Say, I'm welcoming the glory. All right? Raise your hands. Pray in tongues for a moment. Haraba shikaraba. Helaba sharaba. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Let your glory presence come over our family. Let your glory presence come permeate our house. Let the glory presence come fill my body, Lord. Fill my marriage, Lord. Fill this church, Lord. Let the glory of the Lord fill all nations church. Let the glory come fill the watch. And everyone watching us on the World Wide Web, let the glory of the Lord come and fill you. And when the supernatural glory comes, it raises the dead. It is by the Spirit of glory, Jesus is literally raised from the dead. So that the Spirit of glory is the Spirit of resurrection. Where things are dying down, the Lord is breathing life. Where you thought there was no hope, God is bringing resurrection life. In Jesus' name, I welcome and I thank you, Lord, for the glory of the Lord, the presence and the Spirit of glory. Come, Lord, fill every room in our house. Fill this church and our worship. Let every word and every note that goes out on the World Wide Web be anointed with life and glory and healing. Thank you, Father. Fill this nation with your glory so that people who are in the thousands oppressed by these drug addiction, Lord, at this hour, let there be the glory breakthrough in Jesus' name. The other scripture, by the way, I wanted to give you was Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3. It says, though a vision tarry, and this is for some people here and watching us on the web, that though Habakkuk 2, 3 says, though a vision tarries, wait, for it shall surely come to pass. So, if God has given you a vision, God has given you a promise, don't give up. The Lord said, when it comes from the Lord, wait. There's an anointed waiting. And as we wait, God says, it shall surely come to pass. Say, it shall surely come to pass. Amen. Glory to God. And so in that, may the glory come. We pray as watchmen for our nation here tonight. We pray for this city and this region, for Charlotte, North Carolina. We pray for Fort Mill, Rock Hill, and the surrounding areas in the North and South Carolina. We bless as watchmen intercessors. We thank you, Lord. And we pray not only for this nation, but we pray for the nations. We pray for Europe. As Pastor Bonnie and I are going, we pray the Lord will bless and prepare the way. The angels will prepare for us as we do these meetings in Belgium and Switzerland and in Germany, that the Lord will bless the meetings, bless our journey, bless Belgium, bless Germany, bless Switzerland. Hallelujah. And those are going to come, and leaders that are coming from Italy and Hungary and France and Great Britain and all this, may they be anointed with fresh anointing. Watching. By the way, I was just looking up. God talks about the watch and being watchmen or watching 165 times in the Bible. The just shall live by faith is just 3 times. By the way, and prayer is mentioned 295 times. But watch is 165 times. And when we wrote the book on watching, so I think we have written the Watch of the Lord, and the Hidden Power of Watching and Prayer, And then we wrote this awesome, amazing, one of the most, if you're thinking of blessing a leader, you can get that, the Watch Prayerman Manual. It is one of the most, we need to make another 2-3 books out of that one. But it is, those are some of the most powerful tools. But I found out that there are, over this last 200-300 years, the Christian world, even over the last couple of hundred years, there are thousands of books written on prayer. But when I researched, there were only about 10, less than 10, 15 books written on watching. And Jesus said, watch and pray. Isn't that just a little note? Because there weren't that many people who have a revelation and then start doing it. Jesus, just remember, he said, watch and pray. So there is a thing about anointed watching. It is it is, well, I'll go over it in a moment, but it is, we are, it's a combination of being alert, keeping our eyes open, observing in the anointing, being an intercessor with that observation then, anointed observation, hearing and seeing the heart of God and hearing from the Lord and discerning, asking the Lord, Lord, what are you saying? And hearing it, getting a download from him, and then releasing that commissioning, releasing the virtue of the Lord into situations. So that is a discerner and a watcher who waits and listens to the Lord and keeps attention and focus on the Lord, hearing from him who is the chief watchman. So know that you have been graced as you participate in watching and praying, that the Lord is the chief watchman. And he part of his major part of his ministry was watching and praying. So, and realize that then amazing signs and wonders start happening to you. One of the men that I've not talked about as much that I should, except in my books on prayer and fasting, but in if you look up in the Daniel chapter 6, Daniel is one of the great intercessors, and he is a watchman for Israel, and he watches in a prophetic way, saying, this is the right time, God. I have heard from your word, in your heart, and this is going to be happening, and therefore I'm going to set up, this is the set time. I'm going to fast and pray because I've heard from the Lord. And Daniel was a key watchman. With him were some other prayer warriors, intercessors, prophetic instruments, but they're a combination of intercessory, watching, and being prophetic instrument in that context then. And God, for men and women, we say watchmen, but it's watchwomen too. I mean, you know, it's important that we discern the times. And Daniel is a prototype watchman, intercessor. And Daniel chapter 6. There I am. It says, Daniel 6, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 governors or satraps to be over the whole kingdom. And over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one. So, in a sense, he was among the three prime ministers over the whole Babylonian Empire. So, that the satraps might give an account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. Then, therefore, see, we have to take the positions. You find that watchmen, intercessors, and anointed vessels, prophetic instruments, that the Lord will give them spheres of authority that we can therefore call apostolic. There are ministries and situations that I've known of. They'll say, oh, there's an apostle, anything, and you pay a fee, and they will give you a title apostle. Been around that stuff. And they can't say boo to a junior little demon, but they're about the title apostle. So, but an apostolic ministry has authority over major things in the realm of the spirit. Just like Daniel had authority over one of the largest empires, major authority. But because Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So he was so good. He had such an amazing ability and authority. Remember, the Lord, I've gone to the word exousia, and dunamis. Exousia is authority, and dunamis is power. That it is not just power, you need authority, the ability to speak over whole spheres and regions, that is the apostolic. And he had an excellent spirit. Say excellent spirit. So that as the anointing comes and we hear from the Holy Spirit, that is that combination in you is what I would concern and say that is an excellent spirit. So God wants to give you and I an excellent spirit that can say boo to a lot of demons and they run. You have authority. Say authority. So, but the others were jealous and they wanted to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful. Say faithful. See, and that's part of the quality that I find that God wants to develop over us, a heart of servant and being faithful. One of the things I note, I've not talked that much about us, but Bonnie and I, one of the things that we were many years ago, this is about 40 years ago plus, when we were young married, the Lord told us to go and help serve Brother Derek Prince, who was one of the, you know, one of the elder statesmen, one of the great leaders. But we were junior. But the anointing, God would do wonderful things in our ministry. But we came alongside to help Derek. But I remember that when we had our fourth baby, and Aaron, most of you know the story, that Aaron, when he was born, was in total crisis. He was less than a pound. He was dying. And he had major problems. His intestines had died and all of it. And it looked like he was dying. At that time, I was set. We didn't know this would happen, so it had been arranged for me to go with Brother Derek Prince, travel with him to Zambia. And so I would have already arranged to go to the Congo on my side because it would have cost me just to less than $30 to add that little junket. But we almost decided to cancel because my family was in crisis. And Aaron, if I travel, Aaron would die while I was gone. So it was a emotionally very tearing time. But I said, Bon, if I will cancel at a moment's notice. This is so. And she looked at me and said, we, let it be said of us that we are faithful. And you are committed to help our senior elder, an apostle, Derek Prince. You are the young guy who does all the other things that help support him. Because wherever he could not, he needed direct, I would do the meetings. And all that to say, you know, God took care of our home and gave a miracle for, but there was no guarantee. But the Lord came through and gave a miracle for Aaron. But I ended up being in Africa at that time because part of the word that God, you are faithful to be there, to serve, to help. And that's a quality that we need, that especially in the younger generation and in all Christians, that once we are posted, that we are found faithful. That if God puts us and says, I put you as a watchman on the eastern watch place, on the eastern wall, you don't just say, oh, well, I felt like I needed to have a drink. Or I was hungry and I had to go. I've not seen my wife for 2 days. I'm going to go. And the general has told you to go watch that part of the city. But there is a lot of situations in which, like, for example, I would say to Christians in this area, I would say, the only thing you God has given you in a free land, a vote. And you should go and vote so that our children can be brought up in the right principles around them, that they are not ungodly and Christian principles. So will you take a little moment to go and vote? Well, a lot of them, oh, come on, I don't care. So it is those kind of things are the practical values I'm thinking about that we need to be learned, and may the Lord help us be, as a church, be faithful. As the watch, we have, thank you all who have paid the price to turn up week after week and say, we're going to watch and pray. And this is an important aspect that we have kept the watch here in this city for nearly 25 years. All right. Nor was there any error or fault found in him. Then these men said, we shall not find any charge against Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of God. So they did some shenanigans by which they could trick the king to do something that would make Daniel appear like he deceived disobedience and therefore destroy what he is called to be. And so they may set up a royal statute that for the next 30 days, basically establish a decree and sign this writing so it cannot be changed according to the law of Medes and Persians, that they basically that anyone who prays must pray basically towards the king and not have any other gods. That was, and Daniel, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. So what he is faithfully, he is a watchman, intercessors, and 3 times a day, for years, he has been doing this. He kneels down, goes in the direction of Jerusalem, and prays. What, by the way, what he is, a man who is keeping, what he's doing, he is keeping connected to the God of Israel as he faces Jerusalem, and the atoning sacrifices that are going on, have gone on for generations in the temple, where they are, where the sacrificial animals, the blood is there, and he's facing toward Jerusalem as an intercessor. So as he does so, he is connected to the glory of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And they went, so they said, aha, Daniel has fallen into our trap. They went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true. And then, they, of course, they talk about Daniel, that he is praying to his God. And Daniel, of course, you know the scene that he's thrown into the lion's pit. But the Lord saves Daniel. Now, but even the king loved Daniel. When spent the night fasting, all night long, the king, and he was hoping, oh, Daniel has been thrown in the lion's den, and the Lord shuts the mouth of the lions. You have seen that. But what I wanted you to see is that the secret behind Daniel's survival and miracle is that he is a watchman intercessor. He has kept his connection with the God of Israel, with the God of Abraham, the God of covenant. Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth. Say, my God sent his angel. So that my lions have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him, commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den. No injury. But that's not the end of the story. See what happened. And the king gave command that they who brought those accusations against Daniel, they cast them into the den of lions. Them, their children, and their wives. And the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. So, who was the broadcaster, radio broadcaster, who said that? And that is the rest of the story. Huh? Paul Harvey, that's right. This is the, did he say the rest of the story or something like that? Yeah, the rest of the story is, you don't mess with the servants of God. Because it was turn around, say turn around. And the Lord himself turned the heart of the king, defended Daniel and the enemies. Not only the enemies, but their families, their wives, their children. Say, okay, so they were pretty drastic in those days. And then he makes a declaration that's so amazing. Then King Darius says, then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, he had a decree made and he wrote, sent a message. All people, say all peoples, all nations, all languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. That's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's the God of Israel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. Say it after me. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed. That's the kingdom of Jesus. Okay, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers. He rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven, on earth. He is the one who delivers me, my children, my family, our church, our nation. Give him a big shout. Yes. And so, and that's again, don't want to overdo it, but the secret, there's a secret to victory, is he keeps his connection as a prayer warrior, as an intercessor and a watchman. And his eyes are open. He opens the windows and faces Jerusalem. And he doesn't care who is criticizing, who is jealous. He does what he has been called to. And that's part of what I wanted to put our, where we are living in context for us, that we need, number one, be together. Daniel was pretty much alone, except he had guys like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. By the way, it's in the same book where it's loaded with these guys that as they are prayer warriors, intercessors, and watchmen, that these guys, they experienced some of the great miracles of the Bible. This is where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 3, they are thrown into the fiery furnace and the fourth man shows up. Just a side note, when you are in any kind of furnace situation, the Lord will be there with you. The thing is, inside they see, in that furnace they see the fourth man. When they come out, there are only three men. When they go inside, they're the fourth man. But the fourth man is not outside. But it's when you are in challenging situations, the fourth man shows up. Hallelujah. Isn't that, I'm excited. The Lord saying, I am with you. So, right now, we need to again make sure that we are connected with the communion elements. There are people, very loved ones. I often will do for them if I need to, if they are in crisis situation. There are people with stage four, whatever. I will do a special communion right there, either by Skype or just on the phone. Say, we're going to stay aligned. And part of the alignment is the blood of Jesus and the sacrifice. Therefore, I would say for people who are listening, if there is any way that you can come, as always, to never, never break that alignment as often as you can, to, if the opportunity is there to take communion here at the church on Sunday or on Friday, the people should always keep the alignment with the covenant of the blood of Jesus always fresh. Well, Daniel could have said, hey, I prayed 2 months ago or last month. Hey, they're threatening me. They might kill me, so I better not do it right now. There is a determination to be committed, to be faithful. And that's why we, in this hour, we are coming. I feel like God is bringing the watchman and our power, intercessory power, to a much greater level. I find the shofar. I told Bonnie a few days ago that I could, when I prayed for people for cancer, but I felt the shofar like I've never felt it. And I'm in praying for those interests, there's no one blowing the shofar, but I could hear the Lord that he's bringing us to the next level, but that the intensity of the warfare also that we need together, it is a little bit higher level, that we need that. Part of the example then, we are watchmen. We keep our eyes, therefore, spiritual eyes, alert, watching, discerning, hearing from the Lord, and speaking to the Lord. It's a little bit different from just praying. And so we watch and pray and worship and praise. Bringing it down to earth here. We are in some key critical decisions being made that would influence and really keep our economy surging. At the same time, there are so many major corrupt situations. I gave you an example of just the pharmaceutical companies that here that were so corrupt, they don't mind making millions at the expense of false prescriptions for people, bribing doctors to give this kind of medications to people who don't need it, but they are making money and then getting people addicted to these opioid pain pills. These are just some of the corruptions that may the Lord, in his love for us and for the regular people of this nation, that put his hand of protection on America, but also bring evil people to justice who are corrupt. And in the same way, there are different things happening that I would like this week. I felt this was an indication that we need, as watchmen, God puts us on a higher level to see more, okay? Watchmen were always put so they could look out and see, or they were further put out so they would get the signals of attack earlier than anybody else. So that was part of the position of intercessors and watchmen. So in that sense, then you got to keep your antenna alert. So in the natural, I would give you 2-3 examples. This week, the President of the United States, President Trump, he visited the Capitol to talk about the new tax laws, things like that, to help bring in, and he was in the Senate area, and there was a group of people. These are only a few, handful, not, maybe 30, 40, but that are allowed in. But in that place, this is supposed to be the highest security in the land. And the Secret Service is paid lots of money to protect the president. And then there is a whole set of Capitol Police, too. And there was a nasty person who came within just a handful of feet of the president and threw physical things at him, at his feet. Now, this guy, he was just a political demonstrator or something, but he could have easily had some nasty, horrible explosive device or some arms that he could. And the Secret Service, who are really, it's his wrong name, they should be the president's watchmen, if I can put it that way. They are supposed to keep their eyes open, and they are paid to be part of the secret, to guard. Their one job is to guard the president of the United States. And they were all asleep. Even when that man got near, I saw that they were some of the slowest people. I felt like almost there was something demonically lethargic, that those guys were not right there on the spot defending the president. That's the only job. And they were not there. The Capitol Police, who are supposed to have major security, they let wave the guy in. To get there, you have to have special documentation, all of that. And he used some old thing, and they just waved him in. And you can, just the example of the watchmen were asleep. The ones who had their jobs to really be watchmen guards. And they let him in. And another example, just a few weeks ago. Now, there was a little baseball game. How many, some of you may not remember that the this to do with more of the Congress people. They were having a baseball practice thing somewhere out there. And the Capitol Police are supposed to guard these people. And it was like they were totally asleep. But thank God that took two Capitol policemen. In fact, one was a young African-American young lady. She was, and because she was alert and she was not afraid, Congressman Steve Scalise, who was the one who got the bullet, he almost died, but she was there to protect and lay down her life. Now, she was awake, but I'm just saying there's some, praise God, for some of the exceptions. And also this week, Nikki Haley, the ambassador. We, by the way, I have the names of our cabinet-level people. We need to specifically, from the watch, we need to, you can look it up on your internet, and the names of all the cabinet-level people who are serving. Nikki Haley is part of the cabinet. She is the ambassador, UN ambassador. But she was sent on a mission by our government to help in South Sudan this week. We're sending billions of dollars to help bless Africa, take care of the poor. And she was in one of the refugee camps to help. And suddenly there was a major riot there. And she was no longer safe. And thank God some of the guards were able to get her out. But there was very little security. And I said, you know, there are dangers there, that if there is something that is on, we need to just pray for guardianship. And then this report about the assassination of John F. Kennedy came out today. Was it yesterday? Today or yesterday? Yesterday. Yesterday. But they still kept secret major files. And you wonder, you know, why are they keeping this secret? Because who was involved? That's one of the things that you find. But be that as it may, I'll leave that alone. Except these things show us as watchmen intercessors that some of the other guys may be asleep. See, the Secret Service and those involved, FBI, at that time, what was it? 1963? 1963, when John F. Kennedy was assassinated. That was a horribly dark day for America. And the ones who had their job, they were paid to, even literally if they had to lay down their lives for the president and defend him, they failed. Very, very badly they failed. From what I read, the first one who was there to help defend the president was his wife. She was the one who put her body on top of. And the ones who had been there hard to defend and protect the president, somehow, something happened. And I'm just saying, that was an evil act. And I believe that in the spirit realm, God, I believe, he's telling the watchmen intercessors to be alert, to be in prayer, and to pray, God, we are interceding for the safety of our president, President Trump, for Vice President Pence. We are praying for the safety of all the cabinet-level members. We're also praying safety and protection for the Congress people and people in the judiciary, the Supreme Court. But we need to lay that intercessory grounds And it's important that we exercise the faith. Am I making sense? That we exercise the authority that God has given us. We are the intercessors and the watchmen. And as Daniel, that God has given us authority to bless. So, this is, we are watching over our city. We are watching over our nation in prayer. And then the nations, and watching in prayer over Israel and Jerusalem. So, and I will end with this, because we'll get to prayer and praise and thanksgiving and worship. The thing that defines us is as watch of the Lord, we keep our focus. That's why worship is so important and praise is so important as we watch and pray. You can do it at home, but you can do it 10 times more powerfully in a corporate situation. When we pray, or when we praise and when we worship, it's many voices worshiping the Lord. So we get our definition then as we watch. These are the two keys for you to be more effective. Always. It says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 14. Verse 12, really. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. In the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. And here, you turn, and who are you looking? You're looking at Jesus. Say, I'm looking at Jesus. And it says, his head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. Yet in his right hand, seven stars, out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun, shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Why is that? Because that was the literal glory he was looking at. His feet were like fine brass. His voice the sound of many waters. His countenance. Now here, you look up and you are seeing Jesus. And his countenance is like the sun shining in its strength. See the glory. Resurrection life. Mercy. Healing. You worship him. This is one of your keys for being a powerful watchman. And a powerful believer is that you are defined by the chief watchman. And you watch him and you see him and the glory is exploding all over you. And the more you behold him, the more the glory is coming on. This is one of the secrets. You can't tell everybody that. It really is. If you start the day and he's every few hours, just behold him and worship him in that glory, it'll start emanating out of you is a river of victory and joy that comes out, and miracles then. And the other part would be you watch the Lord of the watch, and you watch. The Lord watches over his word to perform it. You watch the word. And it says in the Psalm 1, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. That's the other secret. The powerful watchman stands on two legs. And one, you watch the Lord of the watch. Secondly, you watch over the Word. And the Word, you meditate on it day and night, and you are like a strong, mighty tree planted by the rivers of water. And that's the watchman in his strength and with an excellent spirit. Glory to God. Amen. So let's all stand. Praise God. Father, we behold you. Put your hand out. Hallelujah. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord. We do pray for our nation. We do pray for our nation. We pray for this nation and the nations. Because you are the God of nations. And we especially tonight pray for your covering, supernatural protection of President Trump, Vice President Pence, over their families. We pray for the cabinet members, each of them. We pray for the congressmen, for those in the Senate, in the House. We pray for the judges, Lord, your protection. But first of all, and above all, we behold the Lord of the watch. And in his right hand are seven stars. And out of his mouth goes sharp two-edged sword. And his face is like the sun, shining in all its strength. We honor you, Lord. We bow before you, King. Jesus, let the King of Glory come in. And as you come in, as we worship you, may the spirit of signs and wonders be rest over us and over this church. Let there be breakthrough for each and every one of us, Lord, and our families. Guidance and victory, as you gave victory to Daniel and the three Jewish young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We thank you for the fourth man being with his church, being with us right now, the Lord Jesus, who is the first and the last. I am he who lives, was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. You have the keys of hell and death. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We worship you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To order more great resources by Mahesh Chavda, visit us at chavdaministries.org. For a full catalog of our products, you can call us at 1-800-730-6264. God bless you.